Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And He loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Take it away, Frankie.
My kind of town, Chicago is
the live version.
My kind of razzmatazz, and it has all.
Feel the key change coming. This is Wretched Radio.
It's grabbing my sleeve.
More than grabbing your sleeve, probably shooting at your sleeve.
That's a Wrigley Building, Chicago is.
That's Bill Johnson.
The Chicago Cubbies, Chicago is. One town that'll never, never let you go.
Maybe more so these days.
All of it is mine.
The big finish. Man, that's good stuff. This is Wretched Radio. Have you been to Chicago lately? Well, if you have been, I sure hope it wasn't for the Democratic National Convention. But if you have visited the Windy City, perhaps you have taken a look at some of the crime statistics to determine, yikes, is that a safe place to visit? Well, according to statistics, not so much. Give or take 36 people shot every weekend in Chicago, 36 people, the smash and grab stores that are broken into, the police don't respond because they can't arrest them anyway, so what's the point? It is all the result of progressive policies. And you say, wait a second, progressive governmental policies? I thought this was a Christian talk show. It still is. But we as Christians can take a look and see what decisions politicians make and the effects that they have as measured by the Bible. We use our Christian faith to glean what is going on in Chicago. We don't need Fox News. We don't need, that just made me a heretic in some people's ears. We don't need CNN. We don't even need Brit Hume. Much as I like listening to Brit. Did he ever finish his Presbyterian seminary degree? Brit Hume?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I know that he was pursuing that. I just don't want it.
I'll find out.
Want to do some AIing, which means Google. Yeah. Basically, would AI tell you that kind of information?
I don't think so.
Maybe. Oh, did I ever see something wild? We were at Bible study on Thursday night, and Greg was showing me on his phone that he recorded the teaching that just happened. Eric taught. He's using Kevin DeYoung's book, The Hole in Our Holiness. And he said, hey, take a look at this. So he sits there recording the lesson. And AI immediately turns it into an outline, transcripts it. It can turn it into a blog. It's like, what? So the entire thing, he's actually got outlined after the lecture was delivered. It's amazing stuff. And yet, I think you're getting this sense too. So much of AI is replacing human thinking. I saw another one of these commercials. I can't remember the first. I remember the first one. It was to help. It was during the Olympics, if you recall, that it was to help a kid write a paper or write a letter. And so the kid was just feeling like he wanted to write a letter to his or her hero. So we had AI do it. Okay, well, that takes the humanity out of it and it takes the thinking out of it. And I just saw another one of these ads. Oh, I know. Okay. Just when you thought communication couldn't be any more truncated and abbreviated and shortened, we think text is bad because it's, you know, K, don't even, you know, you save a lot of time by not typing the vowel O. Just K, no period. K, got it.
Are you using capital letters?
I mean, how much more basic can communication get? So this little AI device, I don't know what phone was promoted, Apple, I think. It'll take your texts and it'll edit them for you. Oh, wow. Just in case the texts you've been receiving are too long, be honest. When you know somebody in your life who's a texter, meaning they write pretty... If Tolstoy had a phone, these are the types of texts that he would send. You look at it and you go, this is too long for a text. When did a paragraph become too much for us to consume? I know with the invention of electronics, technology, and social media, we just get in shorter attention span every single second as human thinking is removed from the equation. You got it, Jimmy?
Yeah, I can't find that information.
What?
Yeah.
It's a secret is what it is. I'll bet. You know what? Okay, so right before the program began, I was looking for the word teeny-weeny abortions because somebody must have said that the number of late-term abortions is a teeny-weeny number. And I typed it. In fact, I think I've still got it on my phone. So I typed in teeny-weeny abortions, Kamala, because I suspected that it was her. This is what comes up. The young woman making Kamala Harris's strongest case. Harris discusses abortion and reproductive. She found her voice on abortion rights. I'm just reading through them. Reproductive freedom rally with Kamala Harris. Candidacy would elevate abortion rights. I'm looking for one critical article on Kamala Harris and her abortion stance. Nothing. Don't tell me they don't have this thing skewed. Let me know when you find that, Jimmy. I don't even remember what you're looking for, to be honest. It's been so long.
Brit Hume Seminary.
What's taking so long? How can we remember such things?
That's right.
We live in the 21st century, Daddy-O. Politics come from worldviews. All of the policies, the social issues that we see and that we grieve about these days, they have worldview behind them. And I will grant you, I have another subtext in bringing you this article from Standing for Freedom about the rotten harvest of progressive policies in Chicago to remind us, believe me, I'm fully aware. And when this election is done, I think we need to have an entirely different conversation about the life issue and politics. Setting that aside for a moment, let's consider other policies that affect human flourishing. Other policies that will make people's lives better. I get it with the abortion issue, and I get the considerations behind voting when both parties are pro-choice now. I get that. And by the way, can't announce this definitively, but probably on October 10th, we're going to be doing a webinar. Two theologians, you know, and they have a different view of whether or not an evangelical should be voting for a pro-choice candidate, which is what we're confronted with. And it's not going to be a debate. It's not going to be a bell ring and let's come on, get them strikes so that we can make YouTube videos. This theologian asked this and he was sorry immediately. We're not going to do that. Instead, with two godly men, we're going to talk through the issue because I get it. It is complicated. It is difficult. I understand. And so if you disagree even with what I'm saying, I get it. I do get it. I understand. But for the time that we are currently living in the epoch of history, that is this moment, if the life issue is a consideration, and it is still our preeminent filter issue. Let us, however, consider some other things that affect human flourishing. Because maybe, just maybe, if you're thinking about sitting on the sidelines and not voting, you can perhaps be encouraged. Your vote, I think, will still make a difference because there are policies that affect human flourishing. Chicago is seeing the effect of really bad progressive liberal policies. 36 people shot every weekend. It's the murder capital of the U.S. for 12 consecutive years. Did you know that? From 2022 to 2023 alone, violent crime surged by 11.5%. Homicide rates are now 50% higher than they were 10 years earlier. Frank Sinatra, as tough as he was, would be like, "Ah, boys, I don't think we want to be going to Chicago. Might not get out of there alive." From the article, Chicago's leaders have basically decriminalized theft for anything under $1,000. That's insanity, is what that is. Taxpayers fork out nearly $30,000 per pupil, but only 25% of students meet the expected reading standards for their grade. This is tragic. This is so bad for people. Violence in schools has spiked 26%. The head of Chicago's teachers union sent her own son to a private school so that he could, quote, live out his dream, even as she works tirelessly to shatter those dreams for families who can't afford to do the same. Rampant crime, closing of retailers, school. Now the government wants to open up some grocery stores in certain. Instead of fixing the problem why private grocery stores want to evacuate Chicago, they're going into the grocery business. Why? Answer: bad worldview, bad policies. My conclusion? I think your vote still makes a difference. This is Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever pondered how many lives could be transformed if your car radio became a vehicle for worldwide gospel proclamation? Well, that's exactly what happens when you become a gospel partner with Wretched. And your monthly gift does not just keep the lights on around here, though we do appreciate not having to work in the dark. It ignites truth across the globe. Whether it's Transformed, which tackles real life struggles, or it's Road Trip to Truth, which equips the next generation, your support fuels a gospel revolution. And here's the kicker: we're not wasting your money on private jets or gold-plated microphones. As members of the ECFA, 83% of every dollar goes directly to ministry. So what do you say? Are you ready to partner with us in reaching the lost and strengthening the local church? Become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today by visiting wretched.org/donate, or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful: ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby, 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1793. William Carey sails as a missionary to India. In the next 40 years, he would oversee more Bible translations than had previously been produced in all of Christian history. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now, I'm sad for two reasons. This is Wretched Radio. Reason number one, whilst looking at Frank Sinatra videos on the YouTube machine, Whitney Houston pops up. I Will Always Love You Live, 1999, best quality. I started listening to it during the break. Jimmy, I'm sorry. I know I should be listening to you. I was listening to the Whitney Houston, and wow, her voice, even though she's in concert, and it's, you could tell she's been singing pretty hard, even so, her pipes. Crazy. How sad. How sad. That every time I see Whitney Houston or in a store, I hear Whitney Houston, I just kind of get a little sad. Jimmy, that's the first reason I'm sad.
What's the second reason?
Freddie. I had a dream last night. not like Pontius Pilate's wife or anything. not that it would be wrong to identify as such. But I had a dream about my dog, my first dog as an adult, Freddie. And I woke up in a funk because Freddie wasn't there. That is the gift of dogs. I'm telling you, dogs are such a blessing, aren't they? What a gift from God. I think Randy Alcorn had it theologically balanced when he was talking about, will dogs be in heaven? And some of us would like that with some of them. But will God have our dog? Can our dogs go to heaven? Well, on the one hand, no, they can't because they're not humans. There's nothing in the Bible about animals having eternal souls. The law breaking, forgiveness of sins, being justified and made righteous because, hey, even dogs can be naughty, right? To go to heaven. So, no. But Randy Alcorn posits, isn't it possible based on God's gracious character that he just might bring your favorite pooch to heaven so that you can enjoy not the dog, so that you can enjoy God more. That is the way that we should view every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of Lights. We don't just look at the gift and enjoy it because it's enjoyable. We remember the one who gives it to us. That's the whole point of God giving us such wonderful things like Freddie, my first dog. Not so that I would love my dog and just think that that's the best dog that there's ever been, but that I would think that's the best God there ever is, will be, and is to come. That he provides such good gifts. It's okay. I'm just practicing self-control in here. Preached about that a little bit on Sunday, but I'm not going to rehearse that sermon again from alpharettabiblechurch.org. Jimmy, you ever find out about Britt Hume's going to seminary?
I cannot.
I'm telling you, I think that, because I remember when that announced, I am quite certain Britt Hume quit Fox and he was going to go to seminary to study as a Presbyterian. And that was so it was so hard to find that information. He must really keep himself out of that and of social media. And frankly, you can't really blame him now, can you? Despite my double sadness, I'll press on to read perhaps an email that you pondered sending to idea@wretched.org. As we've been trying to noodle through, and believe me, it's a noodling through. We need to love one another through these times when we're working through the shifting sands of politics. What do we do? How do we vote for the guy? His history, it's Bill Clinton-like, and yet here he is, and he was conservative, and the Supreme Court judge, and all of those considerations, and all of the, perhaps, the prognostications about what would be the most strategic way to vote. As we've been doing this, I think that we need to remember, I get it, I get it. I understand there's theology behind worldviews and there's theology behind every piece of legislation. There's, I get that. But so many of these issues that we're having to render a verdict on, I got to tell you, they're just not within the realm of being an essential doctrine, even a secondary and, dare I say, even tertiary issue. I'm not talking about the life issue here. I'm not talking about marriage. I'm not talking about gender. There just can be no waffling or wavering on those things. But how to noodle through these issues, I think we should really be having a great deal of charity with one another. And so it is. Some people sent emails, and they were indeed kind, but they were challenging my thinking on the issue that I do believe that we can still affect some good by voting. There are so many policies. There are so many decisions that get made that impact people. For instance, let me take you to Great Britain. More British women turning to prostitution to make ends meet. That is the result of bad political policies. So as we assess the issue, remember, life, marriage, gender, those issues, they're preeminent. I'm not compromising. I'm not suggesting we do on those issues. I'm just taking a look at human flourishing and the policies that will simply help people live a better life. That is a noble endeavor. In Great Britain, the number of... new accounts registered with a prostitution website, is there such a thing? Apparently, increased from 260 at the beginning of 2023. It's almost doubled to 461. Why? Because they've got to make ends meet. From this article, the cost of living crisis is causing women to go into prostitution. That means if we've got a really bad economy, it affects people in profoundly bad ways. Let me take you to Oregon. Have you seen the Reagan movie by any chance, Jimmy? The Dennis Quaid one?
I have not.
You know what? I like Dennis Quaid as an actor.
I do too.
But I got to tell you, the little clip that I saw, you know, when he's acting like Reagan, you know, he's got the head tilt and whatever. He doesn't have that magnetism that Ronald Reagan clearly possessed. That dude just had, a presence about him. Small amounts of drugs are now illegal again in Oregon. So in 2021, Oregon stopped making it a crime to possess small amounts of drugs meant for personal use. Oh, it was called Measure 110. And instead of arresting people, who use drugs will get a $100 ticket. I'm surprised they didn't give them $100, frankly. Or a health assessment that could lead to counseling. Okay. That's one way of dealing with people who break the laws. You change the laws, but what happens? These people don't flourish. These people end up... These are so many of the folks that you see on the streets. Yeah, I know there's some stories of individuals who found themselves homeless because of decisions, economy, and investment, what have you. But the majority of folks, they're struggling mentally, drug addictions, and these policies either promote it or limit that. These things do make a difference. And so even as we hear, well, if nothing else, vote for the more conservative guy because of the economy. But that, okay, I dig that. But I do believe that we need to dig a little deeper to the effects of a bad economy, to the effects of people not being able to afford things, to policies like this one, the Measure 110. There's a new emphasis now in Oregon on deflection. It's an ultimatum for people who are caught with marijuana to get arrested or get matched with services like detox. This is not the government's job. They should not be in this business. The idea is to deflect those individuals before they get into the criminal justice system. These are just bad policies that are bad for people. Go to any one of the schools. I could bring you 50 different articles. Colorado schools, new LGBTQ history standards. First grade lessons, talk about transgenderism, LGBTQ history, and the rainbow flag. The Board of Education, new study standards in 2022. They're going to be taking effect right now, fall of 2024. Right now, Historical and civic contributions of LGBTQ will be taught in the 1st through 12th grade history and civics curriculum. In 1st grade civics, Sylvia and Marcia start a revolution. The story of two black transgender women, air quotes, who helped kickstart the Stonewall riots. You've got the story of Pete Buttigieg being taught to 1st graders. 6-year-olds will be reading Pride, the story of Harvey Milk. First graders can discuss, identify, and explain important LGBTQ symbols. Considered prepared graduates under the newly implemented standards. This is school. These are policies. And that is why I do believe that as we try to filter all of these issues, weigh them, balance them, discuss them lovingly with one another, I do believe that there is still some power in your vote. This is Wretched Radio.
And it is now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, this is judicial overreach, if I've ever heard of it. A judge in North Dakota has struck down the state's pro-life protections, claiming they violate a woman's fundamental rights to murdering her unborn child. The judge, who conveniently is not seeking re-election, imagine that, took it upon himself to reinterpret the state constitution and asserted that it guarantees women the right to make medical decisions affecting their bodily integrity. How about extending that same courtesy to the unborn children, who I would guarantee wouldn't vote to be murdered? The New York City Council has taken a giant leap towards implementing a reparations program. Two bills passed last week that would establish a, quote, Truth, Healing, and Reconciliation Commission and a reparations task force, all on the taxpayer's dime. And the city council member who sponsored one of the bills proudly declared that this is a major step in her, quote, Black agenda for New York City. I wonder if she has a white agenda for New York City. Well, you know, we can't ask those questions this day and time, can you? Pope Francis, who I don't even know if I would call this move ecumenical, more so than pluralistic, but Pope Francis recently told a group of children in Singapore that, quote, all religions are paths to reach God. The pluralistic pontiff went on to compare different faiths to, quote, different languages and different dialects for arriving at the divine. All religions are paths to reach God. Where have I heard the opposite? Oh, that's right. Jesus himself said he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one would come to the Father except through him. And moving on, Planned Parenthood is in the news. They continue to worm their way into the American school system. The nation's largest provider of murdering unborn babies now offering its special brand of, quote, education to students as young as 9 years old. Their curriculum includes such wholesome topics as how abortion works and supporting abortion access, because nothing spells childhood innocence quite like learning about dismemberment procedures. And in a rare victory for common sense and free speech, Dr. Alan Josephson, a former professor at the University of Louisville, has won a significant battle in court. Dr. Josephson had the audacity to question the current orthodoxy surrounding gender dysphoria for youth during a panel discussion at the Heritage Foundation in 2017. And for that grave sin against wokeness, he was promptly demoted and essentially shown the door. But lo and behold, the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled in the good doctor's favor, allowing his case to proceed to trial. And that has been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the heir of all things. All things were created for Jesus. When Christ returns, all creation will be given to him. And as our mediator, he makes us co-heirs and will share all things with us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's see if we can help the Pope. This is Wretched Radio. Pope Francis touring around the globe, making a pit stop in Singapore. Quote, if you start to fight about my religion is more important than yours, mine is true and yours isn't, where will that lead us? to clarity and truth. Quote, there's only one God, and each of us has a language to arrive at God. Some are Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, and they are different paths to God. And that would be absolutely true if it weren't for the words of Jesus himself, that he is the way, the truth, the life. It would be true if it weren't for, I don't know, say, the first commandment. It would be true unless the Bible said there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Otherwise, I think the Pope is bang on with that. The Pope entering into the political fray, asking, for whom do you think we should vote? For Donald Trump or Kamala Harris? Quote, both are against life. Be it the one who kicks out migrants or the one who supports killing babies, both are against life. He then went on to make his definitive conclusion, I don't know. Who is the lesser evil, the woman or man? Let's see if I can help you, Mr. Pope. It would be, let's just put all of the immigration issues aside at the moment. Somebody having to return to their country of origin where it might not be very hospitable conditions. We will grant that's hard and difficult. Being murdered in your mother's womb, that's worse. You see, all things aren't equal. While the Pope may struggle with that because of his political leanings, we certainly don't. There are certain issues that are just plain weightier than others. And that brings us to Alan Parr. Alan Parr of The Beat, he's a mega popular YouTuber, made some waves a week ago, got some attention in secular political blogs, because he did a video about weighing the issues. And the side that he came down on was, hey, we got to consider the weightier issues. So if I were Casey Kasem, I would be saying, this one's for you, Pope Francis.
And before I do that, I want to share with you a scripture verse that essentially is influencing how I plan on voting. And the Bible says this. Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. My brothers and sisters, in those days, these were the more weightier matters of the law. And I want to go on record and say, while many of the things that I talked about in this video, all of them are very, very important, and they should not be minimized at all. We talk about immigration, healthcare, injustice, and things like that. These are very, very important issues and should never be minimized. But for me, there are some issues that are weightier, that weigh more for me than the other issues. And for that reason, I want to direct your attention to this chart so that we can all analyze what I believe are the weightier matters of the law.
Super
in
helpful.
Our day. Let's take redefining family. One party says, you know what? It's okay for us to redefine what God says as a family. It can be a mom, or two moms rather, it can be two dads. It doesn't matter as long as love is present. Every other party over here that says, you know what? We want to stand on what God said is traditional family. And we want to promote laws that would encourage and promote the idea of the traditional family.
By the way, on this chart, left side Democrat, right side Republican, pretty obvious, but just the same.
Let's look at transitioning children. One party says, you know what, it's okay for children to choose their gender, to choose their sex, to go directly against what God said at creation, male and female. As a matter of fact, we want to create more laws that would put the power in the hands of the children so the children can make decisions on whatever they want. Listen, while I'm here, what kind of a world do we live in where you can get a tattoo? You can't even get a tattoo at 18, but you can change your gender at 12 or 13 years old. One party is okay with this. Another party says, you know what? No, God created male and female, and children should not have the right to make that decision. No one should make that decision until they are of an adult.
Actually, I don't think anybody should be allowed to make that decision because we know as a society what is better for people.
Religious freedom. One party, it's restricted. you can exercise religious freedom as long as it does not discriminate against others. Another party over here says, you know what? We want unrestricted religious freedom. Let's look at the issue of abortion. One party over here says, you know what? Let's create more laws and let's fund programs that will make it more affordable, more safe, rather, and make it so that anybody who wants one can get one because they feel like that's a fundamental right for every woman. You have the other party over here that is directly against this satanic, demonic agenda.
Mm. The word teeny tiny was used by somebody to describe the number of late-term abortions. Well, if you take a look at the statistics of teeny tiny, 0.25% of abortions are very late in the last trimester, and could have survived if born. If there are 1 million abortions, and there are, that's 2,500 such abortions. That would compose 1 in 10 homicides in the United States. It makes up 18% of all non-natural cause deaths of children. You can call it teeny tiny, but that's thousands of babies left to die. Yeah, I think Alan Parr is right. Satanic, demonic? Yep, I'm down with that.
Says, you know what? We want nothing of supporting any sort of programs that would make it easier and safer for women to have abortions. So have school choice. Once again, not a spiritual issue. One wants to put the power in the government. The other wants to give and transfer the power over to the parents. Let's look at judges. One party wants to elect judges that are more liberal, that will allow the laws to be interpreted in a way that adapts to the society. The other party over here says, you know what? No, we want to make sure that these judges will interpret the law based on the original meaning and intent of the Constitution. And finally, let's look at moral issues, LGBTQ. One party over here says, you know what? We want to create laws about bathrooms, transgender athletes. We want to create laws that would make it easier for people to get married if they want to, regardless of their gender. You have another party over here that is directly against any sort of law that would make it equal for people of LGBTQ to be able to have the same rights as those who are not.
Interesting that he has school choice as one of the weightier issues. I don't think that would be on my list, but I do believe I agree fully with Alan. Redefining family, transitioning children and adults, the abortion issue, LGBTQ issues, and religious freedom. These are weighty issues. In other words, I do think your vote still matters.
My brothers and sisters, I'm going to go on record and say, listen, these issues may not be important to you, although I believe that they should be. But for me, these issues that I just shared with you in this chart weigh so heavy on my spirit. They weigh more for me personally than issues of healthcare and criminal justice reform, although those are very important. But these issues weigh so much more heavily for me that I cannot in good conscience support a party that wants to redefine what family looks like.
Very, very helpful, in my estimation, from Alan Parr, weighing the issues. Might I encourage you to consider doing likewise? If you're perhaps thinking, my vote, it just isn't going to matter, so I'm going to sit on the sidelines, I would say to you, it still matters. I can't scream this loudly enough. The life issue. We don't compromise on that. But here we are in this time, and this is the situation. Let's just for a second set aside the life issues and weigh some other issues. Human flourishing. How's about the redefining of family, transitioning children and adults, religious freedom? You judges, that's a big deal. The LGBTQ, that's a big deal. So these issues, if we put them on the scale, I still think tip in a particular direction. And even if you re-engage the life issue, I don't think it would cause the scales to tip back the other way or even bring them to neutral and say there's no point. I do believe that there are still issues that must be considered. We are not in good shape with the life issue in this election. We're not. But there's one side that's worse than the other. But when you add some of these other issues, I would simply encourage you to consider, could you make a difference by voting this November that would have an impact on people's lives? And I personally think that your vote still matters. Now, you might be disagreeing, and it might sound an awful lot like some of the emails that I've been receiving saying, yeah, for real, we do disagree with you. We'll tackle those emails next on Wretched Radio. I know now many wretched people are familiar with the Masters Academy International because you participated in our Bible distribution program to the Philippines. 10,000 John MacArthur Study Bibles were sent courtesy of you. How sweet is that? Heaven is just going to rock. You're going to be sitting at a table. What's your name? It'll be somebody with a Filipino name. Oh, Philippines. You know what? I remember a long time ago, there was a Bible campaign through wretched.org/Bible where we sent MacArthur Study Bibles to the Philippines. You gave to that? I received a MacArthur Study Bible in the Philippines. No way! So if you're at the internet and you visit wretched.org/pastor, you're going to discover Masters Academy International trains pastors internationally in 19 different locations. Thousands of men, as we speak, are being trained to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to strengthen Christ Church internationally? Please visit wretched.org/pastor.
In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul expressed profound gratitude for their support. In just a few short weeks, we'll be launching the most ambitious initiative in our ministry's history, a groundbreaking platform designed to resource and equip local churches more effectively than ever before. To every gospel partner listening right now, your impact reaches far beyond what you might imagine. You're not standing on the sidelines. You're right here with us, advancing God's kingdom every single day. Stay tuned for the big reveal of our new platform and let us continue this incredible journey together. And if you want to be an even bigger part of this exciting mission, then let me point you to wretched.org/donate, where you can learn how to become a gospel partner right now. And together we'll be empowering churches and changing lives through the transformative power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us today. wretched.org/donate.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. Psalm 139 tells us that God is omnipresent. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God is not only outside and above his creation, he is present in every place, seeing what is happening. This is a comfort for those who love him, but a terror to those who hate him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not one, but two reasons this is not a political talk show, despite the fact we're talking about politics. This is Wretched Radio. Reason number one, this is not a political talk show. Hey, I'm not qualified. Now, you can argue I'm not qualified, period, but I'm not qualified to be a political talk show host. Number two, I'll be honest with you, as important as politics are, that we all have an interest because it does hit us all where we live, does it not? But to say it plainly, I just prefer talking about theology and the Lord Jesus Christ way more. So I just couldn't participate year after year in responding to the latest he said, she said sort of story, or it's heard, it's rumored on Washington that they're going to vote for that. I just don't have that type of interest. So I prefer to talk Bible. And there are times when we have to talk Bible in the context of politics. And that is what we are endeavoring to do here, not to be a political talk show. I think that's pretty obvious. About a million light years from that. But to deal with the issue that's confronting all of us. We all feel politics. We all feel the decisions that a government makes. And so we as Christians, we are the ones who should filter it through a higher plane. There must be an outside source that we can go to render a verdict on which party, which politician, or which policy is best. And the only way to do that is to filter it through the Bible. And so it is, we must do that when it comes to politics. And I grant you, it is not as easy as it was even 20 years ago. 20 years ago, it was so clear on the moral issues. Well, guess what? They're not as clear anymore. The life issue, that has become a massive muddle where both parties now are in favor of abortion. No, I'm not going to take that statement back. Both parties are in favor of abortion. One more so, the other less so. And that puts us into a bit of a conundrum, doesn't it? And so as I've been thinking it through, trying to bring the Bible to bear on the subject matter, I agree with Alan. There are simply weightier issues. Alan Parr presented a video. I suspect he took a lot of flack for it. But he said, I just weigh these issues. And there's just, these are the weighty issues for Alan. Redefining family, transitioning children, religious freedom, abortion. He put school choice on there, judges, moral issues, LGBTQ. He said, those things are just more important. And one party does better, not great, does better on one side of those issues than the other. So his scale tips to, I'm going to vote for the party that brings about the most human flourishing and is more in alignment with the Bible's values. Not everybody agrees. Receive some emails sent to idea@wretched.org. Quote, at this point, writes one, I'll leave the individual's name out because I'm not looking for a fight. I just want to interact. At this point, all excuses to keep supporting the Republicans are gone. I use the word support. It makes it sound like you're going to wear a pin or you're going to have an elephant T-shirt. No, I'm not saying that. But I don't know that I'd agree with that statement. Donald Trump has wavered on the life issue. No doubt about it. And we've spoken about it now a lot. But I still think there are weightier issues that tip the scale. There are policies that affect people, children, education, the economy, people that have to struggle to get through. We want better for people. So I don't think that there are no other issues than the life issue. Please note, I think the life issue, the marriage issue, the gender sexuality issues, those are still filter issues. But there are still other policies that impact people's lives. Quote, in the span of 36 years, Trump simultaneously abandoned both the life and small government wings of the party. If you keep pushing the GOP now, well, I'm not pushing anything. It's just going to smack of naked partisanship. I understand how it can sound that way. I do. I mean, but I hope that isn't what we're doing here. I don't have any hats that indicate my political affiliation. Just trying to sort this. And I have come to the conclusion that our vote still matters. Another person wrote in, your choice not to include character in your analysis of qualification of political candidates is lacking moral integrity. Well, fair enough if I haven't done that. But I would say this, let's weigh the moral integrity. Because I know that we all know the history of Donald Trump, those issues. let's talk about the moral integrity of Kamala Harris, shall we? Let's talk about how she would like to fund surgeries that mutilate children, that she's been on an abortion tour. What sort of moral integrity is that? I think that weighs far heavier than a man behaving like a lout. Those are wicked moral issues. Back to the email. I don't know what you were saying publicly when Clinton was impeached. That is a great question. You know what I was saying? Exactly what you would expect me to have said. Hey, this guy, he's not suited to be the president. This isn't the way we do it. And that I stand by that. And I know this perhaps sounds kind of like too easy, but that was then. That was then. This is now. Well, these are our choices. This is where we are at today. And my only encouragement in all of this is not to persuade you to become a cheerleader for a politician. It is the refrain that I have repeated now, perhaps 15 times already this hour. I think your vote still matters. That's what I'm saying. Back to the email. I don't know what you were saying publicly when Clinton was impeached, but that's when Republicans, as well as the church at large, articulated clear moral principles. What has happened since then? That is a superb question. What's happened is everything's changed, and we should be the ones who point to bad moral behavior. We should be doing that. And if we have not been doing that, then that would be egg on our face. Because we did used to do that. The only difference now is that criteria is just not as high up the list as issues like life and gender and marriage, sexuality. It's just down. We want somebody who has some moral integrity. Of course we want that. But when you're confronted with these two choices, you simply need to weigh them. But I would agree with this emailer. We have lost our prophetic voice so often in politics because of political expediency, perhaps political pragmatism. We have not wanted to talk about those things for fear it might cost a vote. Well, we still have to be prophetic, and we still need to call it out. Quote, are you saying that we Christians should cast our vote for this person just because his rhetoric is less woke and less pro-abortion than the Democrats? I think that's what I am saying. Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. How is this a higher moral ground? That's because of what the issues are, the weightier issues of abortion, mutilation of children, and gender and sexuality, which is very bad for people. So I do believe that it is a higher moral ground. I know how it feels, though. But it's like the dude delivering them doesn't come across like a moral guy. I get that. It's the issues that we're dealing with here. Why is abstaining from voting not a choice in this election? It's a choice. And believe me, I could go to church with you and take communion with you if you're a born-again Orthodox brother or sister. I personally will not let this break fellowship from a brother or sister who is in Christ, whom I love. Not a chance. If you choose not to vote, I don't know how you're feeling about this, which side of this that you're on. I get it. Believe me, I feel it. It's strong. But we don't need one more thing to shatter us. Haven't we had enough of that lately? Haven't we had enough division? If there's an issue worth dividing over, we will divide. We're happy to do that, and we'll do it publicly. But I just don't think the decision between voting for the elephant or not voting is an issue that should divide. Now, you want to vote for a donkey? Different conversation. Because that party, I believe, is bent on evil. But if an evangelical decides in their conscience, they can't do it. People are smart who are deciding to not vote. Let's not break fellowship over this. Coming up in about 3 weeks, we are going to have a more public conversation about this with two theologians as a part of our new initiative that we will be launching in just 2 weeks. 2 weeks, a brave new world response to our brave new world will be a massive announcement. And one of the things that we're going to be doing straight away is having a loving Christian, oh, this word, conversation about voting. We're going to do it lovingly. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.